Ah, the 90s. A landscape of overalls and silk shirts, sometimes worn together, and partying hard while drinking Zima with or without the Jolly Ranchers. A decade that went from Bart Simpson t-shirts to flannels and chain wallets. But through all of this, what the 90s really offered was an impressive variety of rock music, which we're going to jam out to on this brand new episode, Totally 80s and 90s Recall. Hello and welcome. On this podcast, we take a look at everything the 80s and 90s had to offer, from music and movies to television and pop culture. We'll do this by providing our personal experiences and hopefully stir some awesome memories and nostalgia along the way. If you're new to the show, we're so excited that you found us. And for our returning listeners and subscribers, it's great to have you back. I am one of your hosts, David, joined as always by a dude who was completely crushed when Brendan and Dylan broke up. It's my good friend, Rob.
I wasn't crushed, but hey, we want to welcome all of our conspiracy theorists out there today. Here's what we know about you, and I feel like this greeting is appropriate for today's episode.
Oh, okay.
There's a little unknown going into this.
Yes.
So we know that you can't stand it. We know you think they planned it. We know you're going to set it all straight. You feel like your back is against the wall. Make no mistake, you will fly off the handle like the legendary drummer Buddy Rich. According to you, we just need to listen because we can't say anything or they'll shut us down with a push of a button. We know you feel like it's all some sort of mirage, but for what it's worth, we're not scheming on a thing, and this is not a sabotage.
Ooh, way to close with that. I think you might have given it away at the end there.
Maybe.
But we'll still see if true fans can decipher where which direction you were running within that. So
yeah, we'll see.
But well, welcome to the show. Back in the studio. It's been a minute, so it's good to be back in here. And so, Rob, I don't know if you saw my shirt today, because you don't often look at my clothes, and you probably don't care that much.
I don't pay a lot.
But it is pretty awesome. It says vibin', high fivin', and staying alivin'.
Staying alivin'.
Pretty relevant for us, as I think we're the two greatest high-fiving white guys I've ever met. we have not plugged any kind of item on our show before, but I ordered this online from a designer we went to high school with, Cammie Bracey. Now, sorry, Cammie Bracey Aguilar, married name. I believe you played basketball with her brother.
Yeah, I did, and I owe her an apology.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I'll let you deal with that at some point.
It's actually a relevant story. It'd actually be a pretty good story to tell, but go ahead.
Well, she created a whole site of t-shirts with great messages of positivity, hope, and love, which I think is a great thing. It's called Teeps and Teeps Incorporated, with a great tagline saying building strength and hope through love and light. The intent is to create awareness for people with illnesses, particularly Lyme disease, which Cammie currently battles. So
that's cool.
All our wishes to her to hope everything is going well. So if you're looking for a fun t-shirt with a great positive message, I recommend going to bonfire.com/store/Teeps and Teeps Inc. And you can find that in our show notes, that website. So you can easily go for it, but you can find something great. And Rob, best of all, we get to support a fellow Mustang. And for a fellow 94 grad.
That's cool. And she was working there. Does she still teach there? She was like a counselor or something.
Believe she's at a different school now.
Okay. Yes.
But her husband does work at Milwaukee still. Mm-hmm. So, but
that's cool.
Good cause, good t-shirts. And we wish her best of luck with the venture. Some of the proceeds go towards helping with, I guess, studies or, you know, aid in Lyme disease, other diseases like that.
So. Well, that's cool. That's a good cause.
Good cause.
Good cause. Well done, Cammie Bracey.
Well done. So, well, speaking of support, Rob and I love putting out this show every week, and we couldn't do it without all of our subscribers and listeners. So please continue to help us grow the show so we can share our fun and memories with as many people as possible. If you haven't done so, go ahead and hit that subscribe button real quick and share this episode with a friend. If you share it with one other person, all of a sudden we double our audience, and that would be fantastic. Then after you're done listening, give us a quick 5 stars and a review to tell us what you think. Finally, get in touch with us on any of the social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, which I believe is now called X. So I'm not sure what it is anymore.
That's right.
and YouTube. We're going to be up on YouTube now. We're putting our first video up pretty soon. We're
trying that whole YouTube thing.
Trying it.
Trying to figure it out.
We may have faces for radio, but we're going to throw ourselves out in the world anyway. Yeah. So that's the way it's going to go. And finally, you can contact us on email at 80s90srecal@gmail.com with show ideas, questions, or you can just heap praise upon Rob and I. We really like that. As we love hearing from the audience anytime we can. So,
All right.
And with that, Rob, why don't you tell everyone what topic we'll be covering for today's episode?
I don't know.
You don't know. Great show prep.
Well, I don't know. You told me.
So for once, Rob gets to play.
That's not
ignorant.
I really don't know.
So today's
topic.
You told
me to come with a greeting, and that was.
I did.
That was it. I don't have any prep. I have nothing.
No prep. Well, today's topic is a surprise for you, as I thought it would be fun to see your reactions when you have no show prep, because I know how much you like to be ready for things.
That could go real bad. This could make for some really bad content.
Yeah, I want to put you in a cot with your proverbial pants down situation.
All right.
So for those of you that have listened to our last episode, National Lampoon's Vacation, we previewed a collaboration with another podcast, our friends, Sean and Eric, and sometimes Jess, from Generation Rewind. You should check them out on all platforms. Talking about our favorite Major League Baseball players of the 1990s. However, due to some scheduling issues, we had to shuffle a little bit and explore a different topic for this week. But hey, we're flexible, so no biggie, right?
That's right.
That's right. So even though you have no idea what's going on, ready to roll. So to be fair, you were out camping for 2 weeks. You were out in the world. No one could get a hold of you.
That's right.
And so you weren't around to even off do the this. Grid. So you kind of brought it on yourself.
That's right. I'm okay with that.
That's okay. So
it was worth it.
I know you're wondering about what it is. So it is rock and roll, Rob. That is the focus of today's episode. We're both big fans of 90s rock. So I thought it only fitting that we revisit a decade where music changed so much in a relatively short window. So for this episode, we will look at the songs on the Billboard mainstream rock charts for this week, August 1st, throughout the decade.
Okay.
So I've selected a song from the mainstream rock chart for every year in the 90s, and the only rules I gave myself were each song had to be in the top 10 that week, this week of August 1st, and it could not be a song that has appeared on any of our previous shows. So we'll go from 1990 to 1999 and see if we can answer a few questions. A, does Rob know each song? two, what does he think of each selection? And C, can we hear a style change throughout the decade?
Okay.
So, all right. That's going to be our focus.
Okay.
That's what we're going to look at.
What are those again? Read them off one more time.
So I said, A, we're going to find out if Rob knows any of the songs or all the songs. Two, what does he think of each song? And C, can we hear a style change throughout the decade?
Okay. All right. Okay.
Right? So starting from 90 to 99, does it sound like music changed at all?
Okay.
Right? At least from the selections that I put on the countdown.
Okay.
So. So now that you the surprise is out of the box, how are you feeling now?
I'm still nervous.
I don't know what you're nervous for.
Well, I don't do well on the fly.
On the fly.
You're perfect. I barely,
improv is your thing.
Barely do well planning.
Yeah.
So
I disagree with that.
I don't know.
Okay. So, well, from stadiums to clubs, coffee houses to Lollapalooza, we're grabbing our lighters. We're heading to the mosh pit as we check out some of the top rock songs of the 1990s. So excited with your button there.
I guess.
Well, Rob, before we jump into the songs, let's answer everyone's burning question. Are you excited?
I am excited. Yes. I'm always excited to be
always
here.
Always excited. Yeah. Yes, it is a great time. Yeah. So, well, just so you know, the list is slamming with some heavy hitters of 90s rock. So even you should be impressed by the end of the show. And remember, these were all top 10 songs on the rock chart. So this is what people agreed were the best songs, again, August 1st throughout the 90s.
Okay.
So our first song is coming from 1990. So it definitely has a feel of coming out of the 80s.
Okay.
And what I'm going to do is I'm going to play the song.
Okay.
And we're going to see if you can guess it, and I want your initial reaction, and then we can talk about it.
Okay,
a little bit.
So this is 90.
This is 1990.
All right.
And this is. The look on your face says it all.
Yep, I know. I know.
He knows it.
Yeah, I know.
So what do we got?
That is Poison with Unskinny Bop.
That is 100% correct. Yeah. And what is your initial reaction to that song?
Man, knee jerk. I had the tape.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I had good the tape. Cassette tape. I clearly remember, this is a really, I don't know why this is a vivid memory. I remember sitting in my room playing the Atari 2600 and this playing in the background.
You were still playing Atari 2600 in 1990?
Oh, easy.
You didn't have a Nintendo.
No. I might have had a Nintendo.
You just still
we were slow on the video game thing.
Well, you were correct. It is Unskinny Bop by the one and only Poison.
Yeah.
Number 7 this week on the Billboard Rock chart. It would hit number 3 on the US Hot 100 and number 1 in Canada. It would peak at number 5 on the rock charts and only hit 34 in the Netherlands, so the Dutch may be fading on Poison at this point. They are classified as an American glam metal band. That sounds right.
Glam metal band?
Glam metal. People have wondered what Unskinny Bop refers to, but it
nobody
is
knows.
Shrouded in obscurity. Even CeCe DeVille, lead guitarist.
He doesn't know.
Admitted it has no particular meaning.
Yeah, no.
There you go. So, interesting video. Bret Michaels is dancing with some computer holograms, if you remember. They're kind of.
Was there some concert footage?
There's always concert footage. Yeah. Yeah. So,
okay.
Lots of hairspray, spandex, makeup, even in 1990.
A lot of neon. Everybody remember that? Okay.
But I'd say the sound of this song is starting to be why music was about, because we're about a year out before Nirvana comes on the scene.
Mm-hmm.
So, this might be the apex of.
Mm-hmm.
We might have had enough of this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there were still some hairband songs that hung around after this a little bit, but I would say this might have contributed to being where people are like, maybe it's time for a different sound.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we've this 80s excess glam type sound has run its course.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I'm not saying that's what Poison did. I'm just saying that could be part of the reaction. Because, again, we're about a year out from Nirvana kind of blowing the whole thing up.
Poison didn't last much longer after this.
They did not.
I was going to say, I don't remember there being another phase of Poison after the Unskinny Bop.
They had their reunion tours.
Yeah.
Of course, Bret Michaels had his Love show.
Oh, that's right.
On VH1. Yeah. So he had some
stuff. Right around the time he took one to the head.
Yeah.
He did like the stage curtain or something.
Oh, yeah.
Like knocked him out. And
He's still kicking.
All right.
Yeah. But Poison, right? So 1990.
Okay, that's good. I like it.
There you go.
I like that. That's good.
That's good. All right. Well, that pushes us into 1991.
Okay.
And a little band from, I'm going to give you a little band from Seattle.
Okay.
Let's see how that goes, right? Probably not the band you're thinking of, though.
Okay.
So. Oh.
Can't spell it. Love it.
Love it. Do you know this song?
That's Queensryche with Jet City Woman.
Wow, very good pull. I thought maybe that might give you a little stump.
No, that right? one. I
initial
like that
reaction?
Man, I wasn't a big Queensryche fan. Yeah. I just remember I went to school with a guy that I couldn't pull up his name, but he was like...
All in?
Oh, I remember he was like Queensryche concerts, and that was his thing. And I was like, I didn't know who that was.
Nice. Yeah. Well, as you said, Jet City
Woman.
Great
song.
Oh, I really like it.
Yeah.
This song was number 6 this week, and that's as high as it would go. It also hit number 39 in the UK singles chart, so the British didn't mind this song. The song talks about coming home to family after a long road trip, and since I know how many great memories you have driving to South Dakota, I thought you'd appreciate the meaning of the song. I also chose it because I still think it shows some of that rock sound hanging around from the late 80s. It's kind of that stadium arena type rock.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not total glam metal like Poison, but still some of that arena type rock.
Yeah.
Fun fact, the song title was inspired by the lead singer's first wife, who was a flight attendant.
Oh.
So.
Yeah.
He went far for the title of that
Jet
one.
Jet City Woman.
Jet City Woman.
Wow. And
so when I said Seattle, you probably were thinking.
Yeah, they're not one of the bands that you always,
hear about from
associate
Seattle.
Associate with Seattle, yeah.
But like, definitely from
Seattle. You know, Heart and all them.
Heart, so, and then, of course, the 90s Seattle movement.
The whole thing, right?
So
I like
We got Poison, we got Queensryche. Yeah. Good illustration of 90, 91.
Mm-hmm.
So, but as we jump into 92, I do think we're going to find our first shift of how music's starting to go.
Right.
So we'll jump into another band from the Northwest.
Oh, yeah.
Good guitar on this.
Good stuff. Yep.
So I'm not going to insult you and ask you if you know this song. Yeah, this is obviously Pearl Jam with Even Flow. I know you like this as a diehard Pearl Jam fan. Mm-hmm. This song is off of one of the best albums of the 90s, and for me, all-time 10. It was number 3 on the rock charts this week and would be as high as it would get. It also hit number 22 in Australia, number 20 in New Zealand. This was the second single off of 10, and it is included in the band's 2004 Greatest Hits album. So obviously they like it. Mm-hmm. They put it on there. Terrific song, awesome band. Fun fact, Rob, the lead guitarist, Mike McCready, said he tried to emulate Stevie Ray Vaughan for the song's guitar riff, which he was quoted later was a feeble attempt. Yeah. Definitely a musical shift, I think, from the first two songs.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. Yeah. So, kind of a grittier, yeah.
So we go from the like glam metal, arena rock type stuff right into this.
Yeah, it was almost...
which sounds completely different.
Kind of an anti that, right? Like they were going with the... They were, you know, the first two very glam.
Yeah.
There was a glam element to it, and then you get into the grunge, and they were purposely trying not to be
glam. Yeah, because I think this was the backlash. Right.
So wearing boots and flannels and, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Not trying to look like the 80s metal excess, all that.
Yeah.
You know, trying to shift it back in another direction. Mm-hmm. So, well, that takes us through 92. How do we feel about that?
Good. My Even Flow knee jerk. You turned me on to a podcast, 60 Songs that
Explain the 90s.
Explain the 90s. Oh, yeah. And he has a great one about Pearl Jam and Even Flow. And he talked about the Even Flow baby carrier. That's one of the funniest things I've ever heard. We were listening to it on the way to a tournament in Walla Walla. And I laughed for 15 minutes.
Well, he's really good. Yes,
that's so true.
So, yeah, 60 Songs that Explain the 90s. Rob Harvella, it's a podcast. If you really like 90s music, you will very much enjoy that podcast, really, I promise you. So, well, that takes us to 1993.
Okay, what would you...
Kind of going to stay in some of the same sort of song genre.
Okay.
Huge song in 93, and we'll see if you can pull it out. His concerned look on his face.
Okay.
So, do you know the song?
Stone Temple Pilots.
Absolutely.
And is it Plush?
It is 1,000% Plush. Okay. Right. Very good.
All right.
What is your initial reaction to this
song? I love it.
Love it.
That's another album that I really like. The whole album, I think, is
very
really good.
Very good album. Yes.
They came out, I think they, you know, there was some accusations of they were trying to be, you know, a Pearl Jam.
So, you know, it's funny you said that. I have right here in my notes. Many people actually thought this was a Pearl Jam song when it first hit the radio. But no, despite the similarity in sound, is completely different. Mm-hmm. First single off of another iconic 90s album, Core. Great album. It was number 2 this week on the rock charts and would hit number 1. It was also number 5 in Iceland, but only 47 in Australia. So that's disappointing. Mm-hmm. From Down Under. We're usually on the same page with songs like this, so but it didn't catch for him. The song also earned an MTV Video Music Award for Best New Artist, a Billboard Music Award for Top Rock Song in 1993, and a Grammy for Best Hard Rock Performance with a Vocal in 1994. So obviously everyone loved this song. We've talked about STP before. We both love them, so I couldn't leave this song off the list when I saw it. Fun fact, Rob, the lyric... When the dogs begin to smell her.
I was going
to
ask you,
okay,
do these lyrics mean anything?
Yes. So when the dogs begin to smell her are a little dark, as they were inspired by a news story Scott Whelan had read in his hometown newspaper, where a missing woman was found dead by law enforcement using cadaver dogs. Okay. And obviously they smelled the body and then they were able to dig it up. Yeah. So that is
dark.
That is dark.
I did not know that.
So yes, they took it in quite a direction with those lyrics.
Yeah.
So you just hear dogs smell her, and you're like, what are we singing about here? But a lot of it was based on that news story that they found. So,
yeah, Scott Weiland, I think, that was a sad loss for music. I watched a thing on, I don't know if it was YouTube or social media, or something, where he was singing with the Doors.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Really good?
Oh,
yeah. He was really good.
He
He was I've said it
underrated
before,
vocalist.
I've said it before. He was, I think, a true like rock star.
Yeah.
You know, Kurt didn't want to be a rock star. Mm-hmm. Eddie doesn't really want to be a rock star. Chris Cornell a little bit, but I think Whelan embraced it. He liked it. Yeah. He liked the whole thing. So
yeah,
he liked it too much, as it turned out. So.
Too much.
But well, that jettisons us straight to 1994.
Okay.
So we've built so far. We got some arena glam rock. Yeah. We got some grunge. And then here comes in 94, a rock song. A little different, I think. But we're getting to the middle of the decade, so maybe it's starting to change a little bit. So we'll see if you know this one.
Okay.
Oh, he looks stumped. Tough one. That's all you get. All right, so we start with our same question. Does Rob know the song?
Is it Toad the Wet Sprocket?
It is Toad the Wet Sprocket. Wow, hey. You got the band. You know the name of the song?
Is it... is it Fall Down?
Fall Down. Okay. You got it. 100%. Right. Just throwing it out of left field and you figured it out. And what is our initial reaction to Fall Down?
Man, I feel like mid 90s almost took a folky turn.
It did.
Right? Yeah. So you got kind of Cracker.
And coffee you've shop got, style. Yeah. Music.
Where you know, almost an acoustic vibe. And
a little bit.
And even like, the Gin Blossoms and stuff. Oh, it kind of took a little subtler feel in the mid 90s. And so, I think this totally fits mid 90s.
Oh, yeah.
We got away from the heavy stuff and we kind of went.
Yeah, kind of a little. This is a little less depressing.
Yeah.
Has a little more vibe to it. This is
I like your coffee shop analogy. That's good.
It feels like where you'd hear it. Yeah.
That's really good.
So, well, this is a cool song. Definitely warrants a spot on the list, I think. If no other reason, for their kick-ass band name. You got a name like Toad the Wet Sprocket. Yeah. I'm adding you to my list no matter what, because that is a great band name. It was number 9 this week on the rock charts, but would hit number 5 at its peak and was number 33 on the U.S. Hot 100 as well, so top 40 hit for Toad the Wet Sprocket. It also hit number 7 on the U.K. rock and metal charts, so the British think it's the time on Toad the Wet Sprockets when we dance. The song.
I see what you did there.
I see what we did there. We'll see if anyone else knows what I did there. The song ended 1994 as the 76th most successful single in the U.S. Fun fact, the band takes its name from a Monty Python sketch. And right before their first gig, they didn't have a name. So they decided to use this as they thought it would be hilarious. Huh. And it stuck.
That's really good. I also remember we grew up with a kid on the block, Michael.
The Rizvi?
Rizvi.
There he is. Yes.
He was a Toad the Wet Sprocket fan.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can honestly say I didn't know any actual Toad the Wet Sprocket fans. Mm-hmm. You just heard them around on the radio.
Collective Soul was another one that kind of fit into this. He was a Collective Soul fan, and I think that's another band that fit into this.
He was into some interesting songs.
Live.
But that that was him.
Yeah.
He had some interesting taste on things from time to time.
Yeah, he did. Folky. No, that's a good cross. He's last time I checked, he was running a campground down in LeGrand.
That's right.
LeGrand, Oregon.
That is. Well, so that gets us to the middle of the decade, 1995.
So if we just stop right there and go compare it at 90 to 94.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a.
We go from Poison all the way down to Toad the Wet Sprocket.
Toad the Wet Sprocket.
With some Pearl Jam and others mixed in between.
So now I'm trying to think ahead, like where you're going.
Well, I didn't go anywhere. These are off the countdown. So this is what was popular. So I'm just picking a song that was popular. So so that takes us to 95, right? 95. Middle of the decade.
Yeah.
Big band came over from the UK. I'll give you that.
Oh, I know what you're going to pick. Well, I was wrong.
You were wrong. I know what you thought I was going to pick. Negative.
Oasis. That's
I know. I knew you thought I was going to pick Oasis. They weren't on the countdown.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So, 95, Rob, what do you got?
I got Bush with Little Things.
Perfect.
Yeah, okay.
All right. You get double points. Album?
Ooh. It's not 16 Stone.
16 Stone, there absolutely. Second single from that band's massive album. Okay. I think everyone had this. Everyone I knew had this CD.
Yeah.
It was number 8 this week on the rock charts and would peak at number 6. It was number 2 on the Canadian alternative charts. But in their home country, the UK, it was number 184. I've said it before. Why are they tracking beyond 100? I feel like they're just trying to say, hey, we really don't like you. Stop playing music right now. So you would have thought they'd done better than that in the UK.
They're home.
But I don't know if there was some rejection or maybe they loved Oasis so much they didn't want the Bush. I'm not sure exactly what happened there. But despite the hate from the UK, it's a memorable song. Definitely sounds like the mid-90s to me.
Yeah.
Lead singer Gavin Rossdale says the song is about paranoia and trying to be strong in the face of adversity.
Okay, yeah.
So the song kind of goes back to a little, maybe dipping into a little of the grunge-ish, thinking that was still, you know, relevant.
Yeah.
So they dipped a little into that, but then a little bit of maybe big stadium type rock too.
Yeah.
So
yeah, Bush to me was always, they weren't as hard as some of the other bands
Much more accessible.
Yeah.
So if you thought Alice in Chains or those guys or Nirvana were too much, you could listen to Bush and it wouldn't feel so bad.
Right? Yeah, no, that's good.
Like accessible.
Yeah.
And what I noticed going into the mid-90s, it seemed like that's kind of where some of that music went, is it was a little more accessible to the radio.
Yeah. Radio friendly. That's good.
And it
that's a good call.
It did start to go away from the kind of downbeaten, really heavy lyrics to try to wake it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Because you get your Hootie and the Blowfish and you get all those types of bands, right?
No Hootie on this list.
I don't have Hootie on this list. Sorry. I know you were looking forward to Hootie, but he's not here. No Darius Rucker for you today.
Oh, so, come on.
Well, that takes us to 96.
Feel good music.
1996, the year
96.
Rob graduated high school.
Yeah.
What was going on? Huge time. And this comes from a huge band. Okay. And let's let it roll.
Well,
the band should be simple.
That, I believe, is Metallica.
100%.
And it's Until It Sleeps.
It is Until It Sleeps. Right. Good pull.
Nice.
So I love the way James Hetfield sings.
He's,
everything ends with a ah.
Yeah.
So he'd good. Be like open wide ah.
Yeah.
You know, he does that all the time.
Yeah.
So yeah. There's a lot of those. Yeah. So this was the number one song for this week on the Rock Billboard chart in 1996. It also went to number one in Australia, Denmark, Finland, Hungary, Sweden, and the UK. Mm-hmm. It was in the top 10 in 15 other countries to include Benelux. And with that look on your face, you feel the same way I did. I have never heard of Benelux.
What's that?
But it is a tri-region in Europe consisting of Belgium, the Netherlands, and Luxembourg. So first shout out for Luxembourg on the podcast.
Wow.
It was the lead single of the group's sixth studio album called Load.
Maybe I was going to say the album was Load.
Yeah. Maybe not a great name for an album. But And the song was awarded an MTV Music Award for Best Rock Video in 1996. Fun fact, Rob, this is Metallica's.
The video was really good.
Yeah, it was good.
Black
this
and white
This is Metallica's
and dark.
Highest charting song of all time. Not Enter Sandman, Master of Puppets, One. It's Until It Sleeps. It is their number one highest charting song of all time.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely correct. You would have thought maybe it was
Unforgiven or
any of them. It is the number one.
Wow.
What do you think about that?
I like this pick because I think it kind of goes back to what we were saying about 95. Because even for them, this was a change in style, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they've been criticized around this time.
And this is about the time.
They started doing more like radio friendly style.
Yeah, they were trying to
rock.
Break into the more.
And it was more grunge. Even their look changed. They cut their hair.
That's the big thing.
You know, they cut their hair. They had kind of closer haircuts and they didn't look like the old Metallica and people just freaked out.
Yeah. You want to talk about the fans throwing up at arms when they cut their hair?
Yeah.
It seemed to be the end of it, right? So
they all did. They all had the short hair and. They look
shorter
and they look cleaner and they just had more of a polished look.
Yeah, for MTV, for all of it, right? Yeah. So, look, they knew what they were doing. I'll admit, I think they knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
Look, I still like this Metallica.
You got to stay relevant. You know? And
yeah, it's hard.
What a hard decision, right? To go, I stay relevant or do I stay true to what I want to make?
Correct.
You know?
If you're Metallica, look, we roll into the 90s. We've got Master Puppets. Mm-hmm. We hit with the Black Album. And then all of a sudden Nirvana and them show up. What are we supposed to do right now, right?
Yeah.
All right. So they kind of waited it out a little bit and then jump back in with something like this. And here you go. Mm-hmm. Right. So. Yeah.
And their new stuff, they're going back to their
But I will give them credit. Really I will give them credit. They didn't jump into the grunge thing and try to make music like that. Mm-hmm. They stayed pretty much their style. But like you said, maybe lightened it up a little for. Because not as many speed guitar riffs.
Yeah.
Not as many 5-minute guitar riffs.
Oh, yeah.
Those things kind of went away.
The 9-minute.
Yeah.
You know, guitar solo. They loved it. Yeah.
So, well, they were quoted, if you ever watched That Some Kind of Monster, they just wanted to play their guitars faster than everybody else. So they wanted to see how fast they could play them.
Yeah.
And they did for a long time. So,
yeah.
Well, that takes us to 1997. This is definitely going to sound much different than anything we've been listening to so far, but it was a big song on the rock charts and a big rock song altogether in 1997. Okay. Confused look on his face again.
Hold on.
We might have a stump.
Nope. This is one of my favorite albums.
Oh, really?
I got to catch the name of the song. Okay.
All right. So what do you got, Rob? 1997.
It is Tonic.
It is Tonic.
With If You Can Only See.
If You Could Only See. Perfect. Yes. And
I believe the album is Tonic.
It is not.
It's not.
So we did get you on that
part. Oh, give me the first letter.
Go ahead and give yourself the button because it is not Tonic. Absolutely perfect. This is the number. This was number two this week on the Billboard Rock charts off of their debut album, Lemon. It would eventually hit number one on the mainstream rock charts.
There's a song there called Lemon Parade.
Lemon. It was number one on the mainstream rock charts and number one on the Canadian alternative charts. This song spent 63 weeks on the Billboard Hot 100 Airplay chart. That is a lot. Topping out at number 11. It has been described as rock radio's most played song of 1997 and won the Billboard Music Award for Top Rock Song. A bit of departure from the other songs, as I said, on this list, as it's more of a ballad type or slower rock, if that's even still a thing in 1997, but that's kind of what it was. But I do think it's starting to show a shift in sound from the mid-90s now to what we were just talking about, a more accessible rock sound for college and high school kids at the end of the 90s. And Rob, I would tell you, I imagine there was a lot of making out to this song in cars and college dorm rooms in the world in 1997.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah. Great album. I somewhere there on the wall, I have it. Every song on
here
is good.
Didn't know the name of it.
Didn't even know it. Dang it. I knew it.
You thought it was self-titled.
I did. I thought it was self-titled.
So that's your first miss. Yeah. Everything else up to this point you had hit right on the nose.
Yeah.
And that was your first miss. But definitely this being on the alternative chart in 97, coming out of Nirvana, Bush, all of them.
Yes.
It's interesting, I guess.
Yeah.
Because this does just sound more like a top 40 pop rock song, not on the alternative chart. But I think in the 90s, they started taking everything, No Doubt, all of them. Mm-hmm. It didn't matter if you weren't grunge. Mm-hmm. If it was a different style of rock, it just got its way to the alternative charts.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, this is right around the time, you know, 7 Mary 3, and they were hitting it big. And
yeah.
So and those that style of
again, music, No Doubt. Yeah. You got a lot of those types. Yep. So.
No, good pick.
Well, 1998, this one, if there's going to be one to get you, this is my one right here. So,
okay.
This is, I think it's a super cool song from 1998. I remember it a lot, and we'll see what you got. Space Lord, mother. That's my favorite part right here. When that hits right here, really good. Ah, he's got the look. I think we got him. Mm-hmm. All right, Rob, cue it up.
I think I'm going to get this one wrong. Wow. Is it Days of the New?
It is not Days of the New. I see how you would go there. Yeah. It's very close. So, well, this is... go ahead.
Song title?
Song title is...
Space Lord Mother.
Well, it's Space Lord is just what it's called. Space by Lord Monster Mother. Magnet. Yes, so... this was number 3 on the rock charts this week, and that's as high as it would go. The music video was a spoof on Mace's Feel So Good from 1997, oh, wow. And it pays homage to Metallica's Enter Sandman, and Twiggy Ramirez, Marilyn Manson's lead guitarist, yeah. Guest stars in the video. Kind of a weird guy. Got some fun facts for you, Rob. This song is notable for being, you're going to be shocked, being the first ever video on MTV's Total Request Live.
No.
Absolutely correct. Looked it up everywhere. First video. So also the original chorus was, and we're going to have an explicit on this because it's factual. All
right.
But first chorus was Space Lord Motherfucker.
Okay.
But to make it video and radio friendly, the studio said, let's change that up. So they echoed the sound, and it's now it goes Space Lord Mother yeah. over and over again. Okay. That way they knew they would get on TV and get on, as it turned out, Total Request Live.
Monster Magnet.
Yeah. Wow. So this song was also featured in Talladega Nights, The Ballad of Ricky Bobby. Remember, Rob, if you ain't first,
you're last.
You're last.
That's right.
That's right. So,
Shake and Bake.
Shake and Bake.
Yeah, Monster Magnet. Nope.
Gotcha.
You got me. That's a different sound too, right?
Yeah, 98.
Kind of goes back to kind of a crunchier sound and
a little bit. You know. Well, you know, in the late 90s, you're getting that metal, rock, corn, some of those. So this maybe was kind of a little of that, right? Trying to stay in that zone. But obviously it worked. Got him on MTV, got him on Total Request Live. Yeah, I was completely floored that they were the first video. Of all the videos I could think of, at that time frame and for that show.
No.
But because that show just became a boy band show.
Yeah, I was going to say that was always like teen. Yeah. Like.
But the reality of the way Carson the show Daly. Started was they were playing the most requested songs of the day for video. Okay.
Yeah.
So apparently this was quite requested.
Wow. So. Okay. Nope. You got me.
Yep. So, well, before I reveal the top 10 hit from 1999, let's head to the cut line. So
you almost got me on the button there.
It's very violent. Yeah. As I put this list together, I still wanted to include a couple of cuts and an honorable mention. So I've selected a cut from the early and mid 90s.
Okay.
And the honorable mention comes from 1999.
So one cut and one honorable mention.
No, there's two cuts.
Okay, good.
One's from the beginning of the 90s, one's from the mid 90s, and then the honorable mention's from 1999. This gives, I think, a broad look at the different sounds from beginning to the middle and on to the end of the decade.
Okay.
All of these songs were actually from outside the top 10, still on the top 40 charts.
Okay.
But it gives us a look also at what was a little less popular, at least on the rock charts during this week in the 90s.
Okay.
So the first one, going to be super simple. You're going to nail it. But this is from 1991, and it is an awesome song. That guitar, amazing. I don't know how they make that sound, but it's awesome.
So good.
So good. Lane Staley, very good singer.
He sings one of my favorite. Oh, no, I'm going to go on record. It's probably my favorite song of all time.
Oh, wow.
And it's not even like a mainstream song.
But, of course.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. So, well,
if you haven't listened to it,
do I have to insult you by asking you, do you know the song? That's
Alice in Chains' Man in a Box.
Man in a Box. Okay. Absolutely. One of the first grunge songs I heard. Definitely the first video I saw on MTV that was a grunge band.
One. It caused like some
controversy. I've got in here. It was a crazy video, by the way. In fact, I remember watching the video several times at your house and your dad even asking what the hell we were watching. So, and I think we even got to turn that shit off.
Oh, absolutely.
But number 35 this week.
Guy running around with his eyes sewed shut.
Yeah, it was quite the imagery. Yeah, so. Number 35 this week on the rock charts would peak at number 18. This is off the band's debut album, Facelift, and was nominated for a Grammy Award for Best Hard Rock Performance, losing to Van Hagar. In fact, Van Hagar beat out, listen to this, Rob, they beat out in this category Guns N' Roses for Use Your Illusion 1, AC/DC for Money Talks, really underrated AC/DC song, and obviously Alice in Chains for Man in the Box. So not sure who was voting on that.
And that was, what year was that?
1991. They got that wrong for sure. So
Well, I think that goes to show you what people were wanting, and that was still the early 90s. They were wanting
Van Hagar.
They were still holding on to...
Nobody should have wanted Van Hagar.
The late 80s rock, which was Van Halen.
I don't like it. I've got a weird fun fact for you. Yeah. Man in the Box was the second most played song on rock radio for the decade of 2010 to 2019.
Really?
How random is that? Why did that come back? From 2010 to 2019, everybody just really wanted to listen to Man in the Box.
Wow.
Maybe it was like a resurgence. I'm not sure. It's a really weird factoid, but it's all out
there. When did Staley die?
I'd have to look that up. I don't know the exact date.
Like maybe that was...
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe his in that death kind decade, of caused people.
And then everybody went back to find Alice in Chains.
So. I'd be curious to know why people did that.
All right. Well, we're going to jump to our second cut is from 1995. So I put it right in the middle of the decade. Okay. And I'm going to preface with, I don't like this song, but I think it's a great illustration of musical styles changing throughout the decade.
Okay.
Which is why I picked it, because it's relevant for that. But I apologize to everyone for kind of having to listen to it. So.
Would you say you a monkey on a string?
You weren't cool in college if you weren't listening to Rob.
Little Dave Matthews Band.
That is it. So,
what would you say?
Yes. First reaction.
I'm a sucker for a good Dave Matthews Band. You are. I've seen him a couple times at the Gorge. I like him.
My wife loves Dave Matthews. I've seen him at the Gorge. Just he's up there with no shoes on with his little guitar. It's just fantastic.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So good.
As I said, I added this not because I like it, because I really don't, but because I think it shows the evolution of rock music in the 90s. Mm-hmm. This song was number 31 on the rock charts this weekend, eventually hit number 5. It also hit number 11 on the alternative airplay chart, though I'd argue this is not alternative, but I'm not the expert on these things, so what can I do? John Popper, lead singer of Blues Traveler, who I believe you just saw in concert.
We just saw him in concert. They're great.
Great. Appears as a guest performer playing, you guessed it, Rob, one of his 3,000 harmonicas.
The flute.
it was jazz flute. Matthews describes the lyrics as nonsensical, which is the only thing I've ever agreed with Dave Matthews on. So.
Yeah, that's true. It's one of those ones I don't know what any of it means.
None of it means anything.
I do find that Dave, for me... Dave Matthews is a good background, playing in the background. I don't get into it. I don't listen to the lyrics.
You can make this argument for probably a lot of bands, but for me, for my argument, I just think they all the songs kind of blend together. There's never a lot of creativity or difference. He'll slow a song down, but from a structure standpoint, it's still kind of the same song. You were cool in college in the mid-90s if you were rocking out to Dave Matthews and, you know, maybe Hootie, but when he was still playing, bars and things like that. So those were the cool bands, and then they ascended to alternative music. I still say they're not alternative, but they didn't have anywhere else to put them.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't quite good enough for the pop charts, so let's stick them somewhere, right? Mm-hmm. And so
kind of the what was the tour that
the
Horde tour, you know, it was a lot of those Blues Travelers, Dave Matthews Band, Big Head Todd, it was all those.
So. If you look at the 90s, so the kids that went to high school, us, in the early 90s, Nirvana's, Pearl Jam's, all that. Then we hit college. Was this just the Blues Travelers, because they're a little more upbeat, they had a little more positivity to them. Was it the, I'm not depressed teenager anymore, maybe I need something else, right?
Yeah.
That could be where that could come from.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and even the concert we went to, and the vibe is just different. So a lot of a lot of people aren't even watching the show; they're just sitting and hanging out and talking. And
I think that's what a lot of these bands were.
It was a time to go to the Gorge and hang out. And he played 100%. In the background, and people are smoking pot and hanging out, and
with no shoes on.
With no shoes.
So. Well, this honorable mention, Rob, from 1999. So we're closing out the decade. Okay,
1999.
It's gonna blow your mind. It's awesome. that might be a generous word, but we'll just cue it up, and I'm pretty sure you'll figure it out. So, I feel angry. I feel helpless. Wanna change. your face. It's like you opened up a gift on Christmas morning.
Hold on, hold on.
Speaking of accessible radio rock, Rob, what do you got here?
I think I'm going to get the song wrong.
Okay.
But I know it's Creed.
It is definitely Creed.
Is it My Own Prison?
No.
No.
So it's off that album.
That's the album.
This song is called One.
One.
Singular word.
Dang it.
From the wonderful Creed, as we spoke about. What would a 90s rock countdown be without Creed, Rob?
That's a great honorable mention.
It's a great one.
I like Creed.
You know you love Creed. I know you do.
There's all those memes online where people are like, you know you like them.
So this is 99. This is before they became the most hated rock band ever. I mean, it's probably either them or Nickelback. But what's funny, because everybody hates Creed and Nickelback, but if you're alone in the car.
You're singing it.
You go hard on those two. So
yeah.
Number 14 this week on the rock charts hit number one and was number 70 on the U.S. Hot 100. It also hit number 9 on the Canadian Alternative Charts, which is crazy. As this is not alternative, again, but that's fine. We'll just leave it there. It's barely rock, in my opinion, but that's okay. But I'm not in charge of music. This was off the band's 1997 album, My Own Prison, as you said. This was included as a B-side on the single Arms Wide Open, which is its own dramatic Creed event that everyone should experience. The song also won Creed Top Rock Single of the Year at the 1999 Billboard Music Awards. And they beat out Collective Soul, Red Hot Chili Peppers, and Everlast. So do whatever you want with that information.
I was just trying to find, I think I took a picture of it, but Creed, I think they're either recording again.
Oh my goodness.
Or they're going on tour or something.
Their songs are so dramatic. Like it's just too much sometimes.
Well, I remember there was kind of a debate whether they were a Christian band. Yeah,
well, yeah,
that's what
they
I
are,
thought.
They are.
I don't know if they ever came out and answered it.
What's his name? Scott
Stapp.
Stapp. He is very spiritual.
Yeah, see, I didn't know if that was confirmed.
That's how they cross. But if you listen to the lyrics and listen to their songs,
a lot of spiritual
arms wide open, things like that, it's pretty evident that it's there. But. Yeah. They had a moment there in the late 90s, early 2000s, and this was part of that moment.
Yeah.
They won a Billboard Music Award for it. So
what are you going to do? You're so mad about it.
Again, I will tell you, I didn't like putting this
mad.
Song.
I guess you're very resistant.
I didn't like putting this song on the album, the list, I mean, but it, again, showed the progression of the 90s. Because if you go from Man in the Box to Dave Matthews, to Creed, what happened in that 10 years, right? What the hell happened?
Yeah.
That is quite a journey of stuff. So
that's good.
But yes, so Creed, after this, you can rock out to some of that. Maybe grow that hair down long, get it flowing in the wind like Scott.
Oh, yeah.
He had great hair.
He's very dramatic. Everything
he's always dramatic. His arms are out. It's just constant. Yeah. He was the Celine Dion of rock. Stars.
Oh, so that's good.
Yeah, because she's really dramatic too with the banging on the chest. Yeah. So, well, we're going to stay in 99 because we have one more song, Rob, and this is just going to be awesome. This is going to sum up 1999 and the end of the 90s into the 2000s. This song sums the whole thing up and it's going to blow your mind and maybe make you a little angry, but it's what we're going to do. So. See if you can figure it out. It's a tough one.
I did it all.
Those are some of the best lyrics you're going to hear in any song in the 90s. Stick it up your right? So that's what we got. Rob, we've gone from glam metal, stadium rock at the beginning of the decade to some grunge. And then easier style rock towards the end. So what better way to close the 90s than with this banger? It is, Rob, what?
Limp Bizkit. With Nookie.
Get out your backwards red hat, Rob, as I know how much you liked Fred Durst in 1999. Limp Bizkit and this song were MTV TRL royalty. Right?
Oh,
they were
all
on
the
TV
time.
Every day. So, yeah. They were always on that show. This was off their second album, Significant Other, and was one of the biggest albums of 1999.
I remember you thought about it.
I had this album.
You had it.
I did have it. I had the other album after this.
I think I got it because you had it. This was around the time, 99 was around the time I moved up, and that was all happening.
Into college.
Yep.
Yeah. So Number 8 this week on the rock chart, would top out at number 7. Also hit number 80 on the U.S. Hot 100 and was number 5 in El Salvador. First shout out for El Salvador on the podcast. Wow. It is universally agreed that this is a terrible song, but kids ate it up and they thought it was great. Yeah. Fun fact, the album Significant Other was certified 7 times platinum. That's insane. Wow. Also, somehow this was nominated for a Grammy, in case you were wondering, in the category of Best Hard Rock Performance, but thankfully lost to Metallica's Whiskey in the Jar, which you've mentioned previously on our St. Patrick's Day episode.
Go check that one out.
And Rob, if I'm not mistaken, I think your mantra or you had like your credo in college was, I did it all for the nookie. You
know I did how, it all for the nookie.
You know how like Ted Lasso has that Believe poster above?
Yeah.
You had a I do it all for the nookie above your door. And every time you tap it before you go to the bars or walk around campus, looking for that nookie.
Yeah. And I have a tribal tattoo with that on with my arm.
Right on your lower back.
On my lower back.
It's not your arm.
No, it's my, on my lower back.
Right on the lower back.
Hey, mistakes were made.
You could not close out the 90s and not have Limp Bizkit on there.
Some rap rock.
Giving it to the nookie.
Well, I believe it was new metal.
New metal is what they called it.
Yeah, it was stupid. But my story about Limp Bizkit, I remember you talk about TRL.
TRL.
My grandpa from Sioux Falls was out. He was in town. We were watching
TV. And he's a Limp Bizkit fan?
Huge Limp Bizkit
fan. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. No. So we were watching. It was Spring Break. So it's MTV Spring Break.
Oh, my goodness.
They come on. Limp Bizkit comes on. And my grandpa watches it in horror.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, why are we watching this with grandpa? So later, grandpa's retelling the story, and he goes, we were watching this show, and this band came on, this Soggy Muffin.
Ah, Soggy Muffin. Yes. Isn't he smart?
Yeah. Like, I'm sure he did that on purpose. But
thinking it was funny.
But it's pretty a good clever. Dad joke. Soggy Muffin.
Soggy Muffin. Yeah. I saw Limp Bizkit
in concert
in 1997.
And how were they?
They were okay.
Yeah.
So that was when the $3 Bill Y'all album, they did the Faith cover.
Yeah.
And they had a couple other songs. Mm-hmm. But it was down in Florida when I was in Panama City Beach. They weren't that big and cool yet. So Club Avila got them, you know, probably pretty easy. And they weren't headlining anything. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, that Woodstock documentary just came out where
they blame the whole thing on them.
Where they play break stuff.
Yeah.
And it just goes
if you watch
nuts.
That documentary, they blame the entire calamity of Woodstock on Limp Bizkit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So even the other bands blame it on Limp Bizkit.
Gosh, that's your number one. That's how you're ending the...
Well, it's not a number one. It's just the 99 number, the song from 1999.
Yeah.
So it's how we close out the decade. But that's how the decade closed out.
Well, yeah, because then and then that, you get into...
early 2000s, you jump into that punk stuff where it's Sum 41, Avril Lavigne, you get all that emo type stuff, you know.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, Linkin Park.
Linkin
Park. You know, we get into the rap rock kind of Linkin Park stuff.
Starts to all come together.
Yeah, that's
Korn is still really relevant at this time. There was a lot of bands trying to be like that.
What was the?
It was the battle of the Limp Bizkits and Korns against Backstreet Boys and St. Britney Spears.
Yeah.
Those were your two genres. You still had rap hanging around in the background, but those were the driving forces.
Yeah. Oh, Papa Roach. Actually, and they somehow their song came on the radio, and my kids knew it.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, "How do you know this song?" And I guess somebody
TikTok
somebody's either covered it or something. I'm like, we're at that stage now where people are starting to cover,
of course,
songs that we listen to.
We're 46 and 47 years old, Rob. Guess what? They're going to start covering our songs. No. So there's nothing we can do about it. It smells like Teen Spirit was in a Muppet movie. So I don't know what to tell you at this point. These things are going to happen. Well, that's the whole list. What did you think? One and two. What was your favorite song from the playlist?
Wow.
You don't get to pick Even Flow, by the way.
I can't pick Even Flow?
No, you can pick it.
all right, so we had Poison. We had Jet City Woman. No, Even Flow I can't pick. Plush.
You can pick Even Flow.
No, it's okay.
It was just
you know what?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to shock you with this pick.
Ooh.
I'm going to go with 97.
Your pick
number
Tonic.
Three, Tonic.
Really like that.
Yeah.
A lot of people really liked it.
I really got that stage of my life. I really liked, you know, I was a big Seven Mary 3 fan. I was a Tonic fan, and I liked that kind of toned down style a little bit.
The other was a little too crazy for you.
Yeah.
See, 97, I was listening to Korn.
Yeah.
I did listen to Limp Bizkit. Mistakes were made.
Yeah.
Marilyn Manson, I was listening to.
Yeah.
Some of that Monster Magnet, you know, those types of things. So I was still going a little heavier than you were.
And a lot of those bands like Tonic and 7x3 and stuff, their lyrics.
Yeah.
Their songs were kind of lyric based, which I appreciated versus just
you do
I did it all for the nookie, right?
You did it for the nookie though. Yeah.
It was sound and
roaming,
you know, loud and
roaming around Ellensburg, Washington, looking for nookie. Nookie. That's all we were doing. Yeah. All right. Well, before we close, you always laugh when I'm trying to talk. Before we close, I'd like to mention some other friends of the show. These are podcasts that are very supportive of us and have said that they, in fact, enjoy our podcast, which I think is great. Since we know you love 80s and 90s, then we think you will also enjoy these shows. First, the Mixtape Podcast, whom we've been talking to and might be doing a collaboration with here in the future. We've received a soft invite, but we have not pinned down an exact date yet, but that should happen sometime soon. The Pop Culture Yearbook, which is a lot of fun. They do weekly drafts and talk about a lot of topics in the 80s, 90s, and they get into the 2000s. And finally, Bad Movies Rule and Children of the 80s. Great podcasts that talk about 80s and 90s type stuff. So great things that we think you should check out along with Generation Rewind that I mentioned at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And we've added all the links to those shows in our show notes. So if you're interested, go hit them up and maybe get yourself a little more 80s and 90s love. So
perfect.
Perfect. Well, it's pretty whack. I know you like that whack word, but that brings us to the end of this episode of Totally 80s and 90s Recall. It's whack, Rob.
It's whack.
We hope you've enjoyed a look back at some great songs from the Billboard Mainstream Rock Charts for August 1st in the 1990s. If you like today's musical choices, we have provided links to Spotify, Apple, and Amazon playlists in the show notes so you can really relive all of these great songs. You can also find the playlists for all our other musical-based episodes there as well. Finally, we'd like to thank all of our listeners, whether first-timers or subscribers. We love having you here.
Yes.
And we hope hanging out with Rob and I for an hour or so gave you some laughs and a good time. Hopefully, we'll get you back again. And don't forget to tune in for all new episodes of Totally 80s and 90s Recall every Tuesday, everywhere you get your podcasts.
Every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday. Without fail.
Without fail.
For the most part.
And we'll put something out.
Yeah, something.
Even if it sucks.
Yeah.
We'll put something out. So. What are we doing next time?
Oh, what are we doing next time? Well, I believe it's a Billboard episode. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say Billboard for 8 August 1993. Wow. So we're going back 30 years.
Okay.
So we were just wide-eyed teenagers, didn't know what was going on. 1993, Rob.
Yeah.
So Billboard Hot 100, we'll pick the best songs.
Okay.
And we'll see if, you find anything good.
There's some surprises in there.
Maybe.
There's some good ones in there, I bet.
I'll bet. 93 had some good songs.
Some bangers, as you say.
I like bangers.
It's really stupid.
Songs that weren't whack, right?
You and the WH.
There's no H in whack. All right.
Well, you're putting one in there.
Well, I like to enunciate. You know this. So, well, do you have anything else?
I've got nothing else.
Fancy goodbye?
No fancy goodbye.
No fancy goodbye.
All right. Peace out.
Yep. Do you think I get away with saying whack? Whack. I don't know. I sound like a dad trying to say cool things. Whack.
Don't.
You said bangers.
Stop right now.
Bangers isn't
good.
Stop
it.